Psalm 85. I dealt last Wednesday about ready for revival. I didn't get done. I want to go back into this psalm once again and deal with the fact of how we should be getting ready if we are not yet ready for revival. We need revival. It's a word that's used loosely. It's a word that's misunderstood. It's a word that's neglected, and it's a word that's not appreciated. I read this week, Leonard Ravenhill said, the only reason we don't have revival is because we've learned to live without it, and we're satisfied without it. I believe there's some truth to that, because if the world doesn't have revival, I can, and the country doesn't have revival, I can, and the church doesn't have revival, I can, so it's up to us to seek the Lord. Verse 1, Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin, Selah. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Verse 6. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? I believe, along with several others, this is dealing with after the captivity of Babylon, and how God had returned them back to the land, or at least given them an opportunity. And unfortunately, most of them didn't even want to go back. And those that did, many of them, if not most of them, went back for wrong reasons. And the psalmist is praying here, oh Lord, touch our hearts. We thank you for what you've done. You have forgiven us and you have restored us, and we're thankful. But we need more than buildings, and we need more than businesses. We need revival. We need you to revive us. I say it again, that's what we need. How do we have revival? If we need it, I hope we see we do. Hope we agree with that. But how do we have revival? I want to mention some things tonight about how to get ready for revival. I think first we need to care. Look in verse 4. Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Turn us, O God. That word, O, is a cry from the heart. And the psalmist is crying. He's weeping, I'm convinced. He's asking God for a touch and for help, for revival, to turn them, because he sees they need it and he cares about it. He sees their condition. He sees their sad state. And we need to do the same thing this evening. We need to take a good look at something we do not want to look at: our state of affairs, our condition. Now, our world's in a sad condition financially. Our country, so many businesses have had to shut down or are just scraping by. Many people have lost their jobs. Many people have been laid off. There's a financial crunch, to say the least. There's also a medical or a physical sad state of affairs. I mean, a lot of people getting sick. A lot of people have died with the coronavirus and all the other things that's going on. And then there's the social condition of people being mad at each other and killing each other and robbing from each other and looting and rioting and all that. We look across this country and this world and we say it's a sad state of affairs for sure. Our condition is bad, but more important than anything else I've mentioned, even though they are important, is our spiritual condition. The spiritual condition of our world, the spiritual condition of our country, the spiritual condition of our community, the spiritual condition of our churches is in a sad state. We need to recognize that we need revival. We need to care about it. We cannot hide our faces any longer. We cannot keep our head buried in the sand and pretend that everything's all right, because it isn't. We need to see our country. We need to see our children, and the only hope they have in the future is a revival now. We need to see our church. We need to see our own condition. We need to realize what state we're in and be concerned about it. Jude said it like this, and some, which means not all, and perhaps not many, and some have compassion, making a difference. It makes a difference when you care, when you have compassion. And that's what we need this evening, some folks who care enough to be concerned. But more than that, I mean, concern is good, but it's not enough. Concern is great, but we need more. We need to be concerned and care enough to do what we need to do to have revival. It says there are some having compassion, making a difference. What does that mean? They cared enough to do what was needed to get some help, to change things, to make a difference. I want to ask you a question. What about your state, your spiritual condition? Does it burden you if you're not what you should be or what you ought to be? Does it burden you that you're not thrilled about the things of God as much as you used to be or ought to be? It should concern us when we look around and when we look in. We need to care. We need to be concerned, cared enough to do what we need to do, which first is look inside and repent if we need to. But then be people of prayer and people who live right and people who obey the Lord. We need to care enough to do what we have to do and need to do for us to have revival. Roy Hessen said, revival is not going down the street with a big drum. It is going back to Calvary with a big sob. I agree. Boy, we think about revival and we think about excitement and thrill and shouting and joy and tears of joy and gladness and all that's wonderful, and that is the product of revival. But revival is when we get brokenhearted about the condition of the things around us and the condition of our own lives, and we say, oh God, turn me, help me. Andrew G. said, God's time for revival is the very darkest hour when everything seems hopeless. It is always the way, the Lord's way to go to the very worst cases to manifest His glory. He said, when it's the darkest you've ever seen, that's when it's a good time for God to step in with revival. I say amen to that. We need to care. How do we have revival? How do we get ready for revival? Number one, we need to care. Number two, we need to call. I guess you knew this was coming. Verse 6 says, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? He said, if you revive us, then we will rejoice. The rejoicing usually does not come first. The agonizing does. The begging does. The repenting does. The going down comes before we can come up. And he says, wilt thou not revive us again? He is calling on the Lord. This whole psalm, more or less, is a prayer saying, oh God, revive us. The prelude to revival is always prayer. Somebody somewhere prays. Someone somewhere cares enough to say, I cannot stand it any longer. Someone needs to call on God. Somebody needs to bombard heaven and ask God to have mercy. Dale Pheasantfield Jr. said, God wants to avert judgment, and he simply's looking for one person who will pay the price in prayer and in faith and in commitment, whatever it takes to get a hold of a God and not let loose. I say amen to that. We need to call, we need to pray, we need to ask God. Like Jacob of old says, I will not let thee go till thou bless me. Oh, may we have that desire and that willingness and that commitment to say, God, we're going to pray, we're going to ask you. Boy, I want to tell you one thing. If it's not to the point now where we'd realize the need for prayer, I don't know what it's going to take. If we don't see it now, I don't know what it's going to have to get like. It looks like it ought to be enough now to where we pray like we ought to and beg God for real revival. Habakkuk 3:2 said, "Oh Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid." Oh Lord, again that crying out from the heart. Revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. Habakkuk says, oh God, please have mercy on us. Mercy is for those who do not deserve it and those that cannot earn it. And that's what we need from God. We do not deserve His touch, but we desperately need it. We cannot earn His touch, but we need it desperately. And that's why we must call on Him for mercy. Psalm 80, three different times in that psalm, the psalmist says, turn us again. The psalmist in this psalm says, turn us, O Lord. Isaiah 61:4 says, oh, that thou would rend the heaven and thou wouldest come down. That ought to be our prayer. Oh, God, rend the heavens. Oh, God, have mercy and come down and help us. Change us. Stir us. Get us right. We need to care. We need to call. Number three, I'm talking about being ready for revival. How do I get ready for revival? How do I have revival? How do we have revival? We need to care enough to call. We need to care. We need to call. We need to cooperate. Verse 8 says, I will hear what the Lord God will speak. He said, Lord, help us. Oh, God, touch us. Oh, God, turn us. Oh, Lord, revive us. And by the way, when you speak to me, I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to listen. I'm going to cooperate. You see, the Holy Spirit moves on us. And He speaks to us. That's how revival comes. The moving of the Spirit. When God created the earth, it says it was void and darkness was upon the face of the deep, but the Spirit moved, and all of a sudden things started changing. And that's what happens in spiritual work. That's what happens in spiritual darkness. That's what happens when Spirit's not moving. When He starts moving and He starts speaking, He starts helping and He starts changing and He starts making a difference. But we must be willing. We must yield to Him. We must surrender to Him. We must cooperate. We must get in line with the Holy Spirit. I've said it often. When we come to church, we ought to decide and determine by us being sensitive which way God's moving and get in there and go that way. Sometimes we need to be blistered. Sometimes we need to be blessed. Sometimes we need to weep tears of joy and shout and rejoice. Sometimes we need to be broken. I don't know what God wants to do in any service, but He does. And the best thing we can do is not restrict Him or resist Him or rebel against Him, but cooperate, surrender to Him, and let Him lead us. And what He says to us, we do. We need to cooperate. That's what revival is. By the way, that's what these messages are. I didn't just get these things up just for the sake of filling in Wednesday night. By the way, it's kind of unusual to be preaching on Wednesday night instead of a Sunday, but that's what the Lord's put on my heart so far. We only have one Wednesday night more between now and revival. But the Lord's trying to help us. And I believe we need to listen to Him and cooperate with Him and surrender to Him and yield to Him. Jonathan Goforth said, revival is simply the Spirit of God fully controlling the surrendered life. The Spirit of God fully controlling the surrendered life. And cooperating means, Lord, here I am. Not just at church, at church for sure. Oh, we ought to come in here and say, Lord, here I am. I'm open to you. I'm listening, I'm willing, but we ought to live our life that way. every day of our lives. The revival is not just something that happens in these four walls. Revival is something that happens here and out there. And it makes a difference in here and out there because it made a difference in here in our heart. We need a revival. Are we ready for revival? We get ready for revival when we care, when we call, when we cooperate, and then when we change. We need to change. Look in verse 13. Righteousness shall go before him and shall set us in the way of his steps. When God moves, he's going to move in many ways. There's no doubt he'll touch our hearts and help us to have joy and give us peace and help us with our areas of weakness. There's no doubt. And he'll give us power to serve him and to love him. But there's no doubt at all that one of the things revival is going to do is make us live right. And for most of us, that means a change. A change. Righteousness shall go before him and shall set us in the way of his steps. Start walking like he walked. Start doing like he did. Used to be, what would Jesus do? Was the big statement. And that got misused and abused like most Christian cliches. But the fact still remains that we ought to do what Jesus would do. We ought to walk in his steps. Billy Sunday said, when is revival needed? When carelessness and unconcern keep the people asleep. He said, we need revival when? When carelessness and unconcern keep the people asleep. Oh my, that's where we're at. That's where we're at. I wish you could talk to the preachers I talk to. And I've said it before, the kind of preachers I hang around, we don't go around belly aching, we don't. Don't talk about members, we don't. But I'll tell you what, every once in a while a preacher friend will say, you know, it's kind of tough. And in a general way, talk about the day we're living in. And this thing of apathy, this thing of being asleep, this thing of unconcern is an epidemic. Man, you're talking about the pandemic of the coronavirus. Apathy is a whole lot more widespread and a whole lot worse and a whole lot more dangerous than any coronavirus. For it does damage spiritually. We need to change. We need to be willing to say, Lord, tell me what I need to do. Tell me what I need to change. Tell me what I need to stop doing. Tell me what I need to start doing. Help me change. By the way, that's what revival is change. Lamentations 3:40 says, let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. He said, look inside, examine yourself, be honest with what you see, and turn back to God. Do different, change. Vance Havner said, what we call revival is simply a return to normal New Testament Christianity. That's exactly right. Normal New Testament Christianity. Look it up in the second chapter of Acts. Boy, they walked with a God. They loved the Lord. They gave their lives to him. They obeyed him. They prayed. They stayed with the Word. They fellowshiped with each other. They were in one accord. They were energized by the Holy Spirit. They were going out witnessing. They were going through persecution faithfully. And all because of the Holy Spirit's work in their life. That's what we need. We need change. We need a change. Charles Finney, revival is a renewed conviction of sin and repentance, followed by an intense desire to live in obedience to God. It is giving up one's will to God in deep humility. Revival is a renewed conviction of sin and repentance, followed by an intense desire to live in obedience for God. Giving up my will for His. That's called change. Dale Feisenfeld, revival awakens in our heart an increased awareness of the presence of God, a new love for God, a new hatred for sin, and a hunger for His Word. Change. Different. I need to be willing to change. There's some things I haven't been doing that I should have. I'm asking God to help me to change. There's some things I've been doing I shouldn't have done that I'm asking God to help me to change. That's what revival is. We need revival. Are we ready for revival? We get ready for revival by caring and calling, cooperating and changing. We need to care, we need to call, we need to cooperate, we need to change. And then lastly, we need to come. I knew it wouldn't be long tonight. I thought the other day, I have no schedule for preaching. I may preach 45 minutes, I may preach 20 minutes. All I'm going to do is just say what the Lord wants me to say and try and hush. And some of you ought to say amen about that, except for the long ones. We need to come. A revival will do you no good if you're not here. Now, we're doing something that I am doing reluctantly and gladly. There is such a thing. Broadcast it out there to the parking lot. Because there are some people that are coming that would not come if we didn't. And I've had more than one say, thank you for doing that. I'm glad they're coming, but I wish that they would come in. Some of them really don't need to, probably, because of their health condition, and it's probably the wise thing for them to be extremely careful. So I'll leave that between them and the Lord. But I'll tell you one thing. There is nothing that replaces getting in the service where the Lord's at. You cannot get that at home. If we broadcast it over the internet and you can watch it live at the house, you won't get it. Well, just the other day, I pulled back up on the website one of the youth meetings at the out when they were still having the camp meeting that one night when the Lord just came through. And I mean, boy, it just absolutely exploded. And I have watched portions of that and I thought how good that was. But it ain't nothing like being there. We need to come. We need to come. For some, it will not be easy. I'm preaching this to Wednesday night crowd. But I say it to the Wednesday night crowd. You need to be here. I'm going to say the same thing to the Sunday morning crowd, by the way. We need to be here. We can't get it if we're not where it's getting coming from. And I'll tell you one thing. When you're not here and you could be here, you're missing what you could help or what you could get the help you could have. I say it over and over and over. There's some things that God will only do in church. I believe that. Now, if you can't come, God's not dumb. He understands that. But we need to set it in our heart. We're having revival only 4 nights. By the way, we're having services before then, too. We need to get it in our heart, I'm coming, unless there's something just absolutely that makes it impossible. Because, listen, the devil does not want you to get what the Lord's going to try and give you. And me too. By the way, when people aren't here, it sure discourages those that are. I've seen it so many times. We pray for revival and we send out the notice and I put it on the radio and I send out the flyers to churches and I text people and I call people and we go out and hand out flyers and all that at different places and we're praying and we're inviting folks and then people don't come. And I'm telling you what, it's like it just takes all the excitement, the thrill out of a meeting. So you need to come. But that's not all. Coming doesn't mean just being here. Coming means coming. And being here means being here. Coming with the mind open, intentionally, on purpose, listening, with a heart open, not distracted, not thinking about things, not thinking about who isn't here, not thinking about the problem, not thinking about this or that or the other, coming with our hearts in tune and open and ready to listen to the Lord. When I say we need to come, I mean really come. Yeah, I don't know if Tony Finney's your favorite preacher or not. If he's not one of your favorites, I don't know what's wrong with you. I love Brother Tony. And the people who may sing may not be your favorite singers, I don't know. And the time may not be convenient and everything. I mean, there's a whole lot of excuses that we could use, but the bottom line is, oh, we need to come because it really comes from God and not from Brother Tony and not from the singers and not anything else. We need to come. We need to be willing and open. And if we come in and it explodes, great. And if we come in and 3 or 4, 5 or 6 get some real help, that'll be great. I don't have any idea what to expect. I have tried to stop giving my list to God. I have a list of things I would love to see happen in every service and every revival. And I think it's a good list. But I have tried to just put my list aside and say, Lord, will you please do what you want to do? You know where we're at, you know what we need, and you know what you want to do. Lord, have your will. But I'm going to come, and with all my heart, I'm going to be open to you, and I want you to help me. And whatever you do, I'll thank you for it, and I'll give you the glory. I say this, and I'm about ready to quit. God's still able. God is still able. Boy, I'll tell you what, when you get down, or when you're beaten down, or you're going through a lot, it almost seems like help is impossible. And it almost seems like God is so far away. But I want to tell you what, He's not. All it takes for God is just to breathe on you. All it takes is for Him to touch you. Have you not heard some preacher somewhere just almost out of the blue and God just helped you? Or a song that you almost accidentally heard and God just made such a difference? Or maybe just a friend saying something that just all of a sudden just gives you a help? I'll tell you, that's God. And God is still able. Our country, I don't know. I'll leave that with Him. But I know this, I can have revival. And you can have revival. This church can have revival. And I believe we can have a kind of revival that will spill out. You see, that's really what I'd love to see. Where it doesn't just change us, but it has an effect on the community. That's what real revival does. It shuts down beer joints because people's getting saved. It makes people outside the church different because the Lord's moving. Habakkuk 3:2, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known, I said in wrath, remember mercy. Dale Pheasantfield said, revival, no matter how small or how great, is the ultimate in its ultimate scope, always begins with individual believers whose hearts are desperate for God and who are willing to pay the price to meet Him. He said, If revival depended on you, your prayers, your faith, your obedience, would your church ever have revival? That's a searching question, but it's a good one. I say this, I know it's for sure. It starts with you. Can we have revival? Sure we can. Can it start now? Sure it can. And it starts when God touches our hearts and we're willing to listen. And we let Him do His work in us. And it's amazing what He can do to a willing vessel. Let's pray. Father, I ask You for revival for myself. I desperately need it. Lord, as I'm praying, I ask You to touch people. May they call on You. May they, Lord, pray. Would You touch us as Your people? Do in us what You did in the psalmist. Show us ourselves, our condition, our need, our lack. And Lord, I ask You to help us to not be satisfied or content. Wake us, shake us. Oh God, do what we cannot do ourselves. Revive us. Help us. Break us if need be. Lord, I pray for revival in our hearts, in our church, in our families. I pray for revival in this country. Lord, there's nothing wrong with our country that Your touch, Your conviction, Your forgiveness wouldn't solve. I pray for that. I beg You for that. Oh, Lord, help us as a church. Help Brother Tony.